Stay true, stay real, stay righteous. All right, Chris, we are back. We are back from a long winter break. I'm trying to think. I think it was November when I last posted a show. And we're always bad about like announcements. We gotta try to see if maybe Shelby wants to come back in on the fold. And she managed. Remember how she managed?
Yeah.
She did a stellar job managing our social media. You know, when we kind of kicked off in the beginning, but we started getting sporadic and well, you guys. I mean, she lives a busier life, I'm sure now too. But anyways, so we're back. Still trying to navigate the insanity. I don't know, man. It's been hell. We're coming to the end of the first month of 2024.
We're in election year.
And utter insanity has descended upon the planet.
It's not. We're not far into. I mean, we're 1 month in, right? We've got
today's the 30th.
Military assembling at our borders.
Yep.
We've got election year going on. That's going to be its own
pretty damn wild
adventure. Yep. I'm sure.
What else? Potential World War III.
Disease X.
So the three, or
right?
Disease X. China unleashes Disease X.
You know how there's it is. At this point, it's not even like nobody even cares anymore.
Hey,
they're just like, oh, okay.
Hey, you know
this
what was
is
weird?
It. This is life now.
So you want to know something really crazy? I mean, you know what's funny about that?
Yeah.
I literally saw an article the other day that talked about how it was Chinese scientists that have developed altered form of COVID, right?
Of course it is.
Yeah. It has like 100% kill rate or something like that.
Great.
But you know what I thought was interesting?
Yeah, tell
I'm
me.
Like, wait a minute, weren't we supposed to
thought we fixed that.
Wait, no, I thought it didn't come from like a lab or scientist or anything.
Well, now I guess it's just normal now. Oh, by the way, when COVID leaked they just decided to go ahead and dump the other one out there, too. They said we might as well.
Yeah, isn't that weird how stuff like that, how information comes around like that?
It's just like, well, I mean, you know, they always say that, you always hear people say, especially people who have a lot of conspiracy theories, say well, they have to tell you what they're doing. And
what
so,
do you mean? What do you mean?
So apparently there's this concept that whether you want to call it cosmic law or, you know, the law of good and evil, it's kind of the concept
cosmic
that...
Law. Ooh,
cosmic
law. I kind of dig
law,
this, man.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So it's kind of the concept
was it like
that...
like mysticism or something?
If someone is doing something to manipulate the masses, for say, and doing an evil act, there is sort of a sense that they can't trick you into it, if it makes sense. They have to sort of reveal what they're doing, and you have to willingly commit to what's happening, if that makes sense, in a very loose way of saying it. So, for example, people will say that, maybe I mentioned this guy before, but I work with somebody who a lot of times will make a reference about, you know, remember that scene?
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that scene in this movie? And then he's like, and isn't that weird that we have something like that going on now? It'd be something, you know, like, on Star Trek, they had something that looked like a smartphone or whatever talking into it. Now we have that. Well, they have to tell you what they're doing. They have to tell you what they're building, right?
Oh, predictive programming.
Kind of like, yeah, so you get used to it. So the reason I mentioned that is to follow up to it. So maybe COVID was just sort of to kind of loosen us up to the concept of experimenting on math. I don't know, we're just going to release this stuff now and see what happens. And then they just don't even try to explain it anymore. They're like, yeah, I came out of a lab. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because now everybody's just like, at this point, so many weird things have happened. We got aliens in Miami.
Right.
We've got zombie deer.
Aliens
right? What's
Miami,
the other?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's so crazy. Just weird stuff, right? And you're just, you know, what's real, what's not.
I saw one the other day of a woman. It was on a deer cam. It was a woman who had filmed these people coming up. There was like a dead coyote carcass. Like next to a fence, and it was this weird deer came with these naked people coming up and like eating it. Totally bizarre. Wasn't a hoax.
Skinwalkers.
Like, it was like investigated, and it really was like it was an animal that had been like mutilated with human bite marks. It was just wild, man.
There's this theory that
cosmic law. Yeah.
Well, that has to deal with the whole. They have to let you know what they're doing. You know. The Matrix, you thought that was a movie? That's a documentary.
What is real?
You know. But seriously, what's kind of interesting is, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, but you know, with the way that things are presented now, and everything, either you really believe in it, or you think it's a conspiracy theory, or you think it's some kind of cover-up, it's so muddled. And I said, it makes perfect sense. Because back in the day, things used to be classified. Things were controlled, like the news only showed you what they wanted you to show, right? Mm. You know, there wasn't the internet. People could sort of do their own research. Ever since the internet, there is no control of, like, I mean, literally, people leak stuff all the time, right? Video game companies can't even keep their stuff under wraps anymore. People are leaking videos of them playing the game and stuff. Like, how's even, no, we don't even have access to that yet, and he's already playing our game, you know? So when you can't control the information, what's a better way of trying to keep it from being, for people to be able to put all the pieces together? Well, you just muddle it.
Deception.
You just muddy it with so much, some of it real, some of it fake.
Yeah.
And then eventually nobody knows anymore, right? Everybody's in their own delusion. They've created their own construct of what's really going on, and nobody believes each other. It makes sense. It works.
I mean, that kind of describes the current era, right? Because you're right. Like, you're right. I think you're right in a lot of ways.
You know, back in the day, when you would turn on the news, Walter Cronkite
would be sitting there,
and it was almost like it was presented, almost like if you were reading the newspaper.
Right.
Here's the facts. Here's the stories. Thank you, and have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. And that was it. And you just sat at home, and you talked around with your family, and you said, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? What do you think we should do? Well, I feel like we should go over and fight them. I feel like we should fucking stay out of it. Whatever. But no, anymore, it's almost like everything is, it seems like there's more of a motive behind everything. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were going to explain something.
No. What you just said is, I was going to say my first question was going to be, did you used to believe the news was real? That's what I was going to ask you, and you literally just, that's what you were talking about. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that people just, it was just what it was.
Do you know the moment it got weird for me?
And maybe that was just because we were comfortable and wanted to say everything we wanted it to say. I don't know.
The moment that I realized that something was going on was the moment that the news, or I say a moment, I can't pinpoint a specific moment, but it was when newscasters started
clarity, right?
Right, when clarity, yeah. I had how I was going clear, like that's the isn't that what are they called?
Know.
The Church of Science, Scientology, yeah, man. But I had a moment of clarity when I listened to the newscasters giving their opinion, like they give their opinions. If you go watch CNN, do it as a thought experiment. So go watch CNN, and you have to be objective about it when you do this.
Communist News Network.
But don't listen to the news. Don't listen to the actual story that's being presented. Don't listen to the facts. Don't do any of that. All I want you to do is try to detect a moment when the newscaster uses emotion and when they give their opinion. And when I say they give their opinion, they say things like, for example, disgraced former president. So instead of just saying former president, they add in something.
Well, so you're touching on,
do you understand
something,
what I'm saying?
Right, so
it
you,
adds a
so,
bias to
so
it.
You talked about, you said it perfectly, emotion. The news now is not so much of an informational thing as much as it almost incites a certain emotion in the viewers. It tries to almost drive a certain feeling. Like, I watch people now that watch, if they watch the news, they do. They almost have, like, these emotional reactions to what's being said.
Yeah.
You know, and there's always this particular channel they really like.
Mm-hmm.
There's always other channels they freaking hate. They think they're the demons, right? I don't know. That's new to me, you know, inciting people's emotions.
It's one of the greatest forms of psychological warfare.
Right. It's a way to sort of drive people to think a certain way, right?
So we always think about these different eras, you know. And me and you, well, we've been playing, you know, recently, when we play games, we like to play, like, you know, sometimes period-based games. But we think about these different eras and how they evolved, how they changed throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always kind of like this revolutionary thing that unfolded.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like, it was kind of like a moment of clarity where it's like, we're here, we're on the precipice.
Right.
We're now here. But think about when the first gun came into realization. When somebody had a rifling system that they were like, man, I can project pieces of metal through this thing at really high rates, and it's insanely dangerous. Like, think about when that happened. Like, the moment somebody was like, this changes everything.
Right.
Like, this changes everything.
You know, it's like going into World War One. You were talking about period games, or we play Battlefield 1, and it's based in World War One. And, you know, that was sort of one of those moments, just to use an
completely
example.
Completely agree. Warfare was revolutionized.
It totally changed. We literally went into what we consider modern warfare.
Yeah.
Where we didn't necessarily have to go hand-to-hand or face-to-face kill each other. We could literally blow each other up from a distance. And people weren't prepared for that. That's why it drug out so long. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was...
Yeah,
we were trying to just from an old from a different type. But you know,
see, that's what's fascinating about it. I think that's something that's never touched on enough, especially that specific war. But the whole idea behind the stagnation of that war. It's like in the first few months of it, everything
nobody knew
moves.
What to do.
Everybody's like, I agree. That's exactly what I was going
to
say. We don't
have to move without annihilating everybody.
Right, so in the first few months, everybody's moving around. Different battles are unfolding.
Marching in.
Yeah, there's even like acts of heroism. You know, there's like literally they had horses and they really did charge people with like giant spears and sabers and stuff. Like that was a real thing. And this was a time when it was kind of like prior to that it had been medieval and muskets, right? And now you've got machines. Now they figure we were talking about the rifle instead
right.
of so you take the cannon. They have the cannon. It's this it's this big ass hunk of metal that lobs out a giant bowling ball. And what did we do? We thought, hey,
let's add explosives into that bowling ball.
Well, what did we do? We rifled the barrel out.
Yeah.
We figured out, oh, we can make this thing accurate.
Yeah.
In fact, let's make some model shells that resemble that of a bullet.
Yeah.
Let's create giant guns, giant rifles, and we can actually aim them in the air and blow the shit out of the landscape, shoot metal everywhere. What else do they do? Oh, they loaded them with gas, right? They would load them with gas.
Smoke, yeah. Anything, yeah.
It was wild. And no, I agree. I think that's what's so crazy about that first war.
But, you know, but taking moments
they didn't
like
know what
that
to do.
Where we're
they
sort
didn't
of...
know, right, they didn't know how to move forward.
Right.
What do we do?
And so, you
some
know,
of the,
then
some
he
of the
saw,
most fascinating innovation as well happened during that time period.
You know, and we brought that up before too. How strange it is that during those type of times is when we have the most advancement, isn't it? Isn't it? It's always when we just construct things that later on will be mass produced for the regular consumer. Always starts from the military, right? It was a military thing. Oh, they used it in the military. They used it in World War II. They created, Bluetooth was created in World War II to help.
No kidding, I didn't know that.
Yes, so there was a, oh my gosh, I'm not going to remember her name, and I really should know this, but she was an actress during the time, and she helped to develop the first, what would later be used as like Bluetooth for today, but essentially what was happening
is... She was an actress?
There was a woman that's known for helping on this project. I mean, there's probably other people involved, but anyways, so essentially what was happening is when... Torpedoes were shot out of, Wi-Fi, the creator of Wi-Fi, or to help to get the, sorry, yeah, I kept saying Bluetooth, Wi-Fi. So anyways.
Hang on 1 second, let me let it load real quick. Hedy Lamarr.
So.
Does that sound right?
That does sound right. So I apologize. So Hedy Lamarr helped to develop what we would call Wi-Fi now. So what happened, and this was during World War II, so what's happening is. When submarines would shoot off target guided torpedoes, well, there was sonar and things. There were frequencies that these missiles were guided by, and they were very easy to be jammed.
Wait a minute, hang on.
Hertz. They were like
wait,
we would
slow,
run it.
Slow down. So the missiles is that how that works?
So
is that
so
how
that,
torpedoes
so,
work?
So there were certain torpedoes that could be locked on and then shot at a target. But it was done so with like a radio wave or a certain type of Hertz wave,
that.
And it was very easy to jam them. Like the Germans or whoever we were going against, the Japanese, whoever were able to jam a lot of these torpedoes and knock them
so
out
it was
of course.
Pretty primitive.
So what? And I'm sorry, what was the lady's name again?
Hedy Lamarr.
Hedy Lamarr.
I think
came up
right.
with the idea. She said, "What if you could develop a warhead?" That the frequency switches between different types of hertz constantly so that it's impossible to jam because you never know which hertz it's on at that exact time. And so that way it was impossible to jam these,
that's brilliant.
These torpedoes in the process. So essentially that led to eventually the ability, kind of like I guess how Wi-Fi works, it's moving around a different hertz or whatever, so it's kind of the same concept or whatever, so...
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Talking about, like, different ingenuity or whatever, happening during those type of times, it's kind of interesting how that's when our most advancement happens during conflicts and stuff like that, isn't it?
Right. Rockets. Wasn't that World War II?
That's
rockets?
When we went... Operation Paperclip, right? We took all the German scientists to...
No, man. I think that's Hey, you're actually right too. It does say that Hedy Lamarr was an Austrian American actress and inventor who pioneered the technology that would one day form the basis for today's Wi-Fi, GPS, and Bluetooth communication systems.
I'm sorry, so it did include Bluetooth.
It was Bluetooth. Yeah.
But interesting. It's just interesting because a lot of these things are developed. Everybody wants to put their minds together when we're in these
moments
incredibly,
of crisis.
Incredible moments of crisis, and these amazing things are invented and developed, and then later on you'll see them starting to become some way mass produced. Or all of a sudden later on the regular consumer has access to this technology. Military always has it first, right?
Yeah.
You know, but it's just kind of interesting. You know, that's when we want to. I watched the Oppenheimer movie that recently.
Oh, how is it?
Actually,
is it pretty good?
Won quite a few awards at the.
Man, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, if you're if you like history and you kind of like that type of stuff, it's kind of enjoyable. It's a long movie. Yeah. It's not a war movie, so don't expect to see a lot of action and stuff. It's not a whole lot about the atomic bomb, like showing that necessarily. It's more about
I think that's the person cool enough in itself.
The development of it. But it's just fascinating, even talking about that, is that think about when you watch the movie and it shows all the different people, not just Oppenheimer himself, but the actual team that he put together, some of the world's, some of the
brilliant,
brightest minds that he could find that would be a part of this project. And they developed literally a world altering. We went into a new age, right?
Yeah.
Went to the nuclear age
because of
these bright minds. And it's just fascinating. Once again, that's when we want to put it together, is how can we kill each other to the most supreme level to where nobody's going to contest us? Not, hey, let's get all these guys together and, hey,
Jeez.
We're at peace. Can you guys figure out how to feed everybody in the entire world? Can you figure out how to get better energy sources that are not dangerous, that are not in your environment? We don't ever wonder about that. That's not.
Embrace nuclear.
Build me a weapon, right?
Build me a weapon.
Get me the best minds together.
I need a weapon.
Pay them to make me a good weapon, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's strange.
That's exactly right. Who was which president warned us of the military-industrial complex? Who was that? Was it Eisenhower?
Eisenhower said it.
Yep. Dwight Eisenhower. Wow. Warned against the establishment of a military-industrial complex.
Interesting.
Yeah. On January 17th, 1961, in his farewell address, President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Man, that's a weird one. That's a rabbit hole, isn't it?
I wonder if he was, think about it.
Like,
so Roosevelt would have been during, that period.
Which president, wasn't there a president that served 3 terms?
I think Roosevelt served almost 4, I think, terms. He got us through, like, the Great Depression, and, like, he did all that stuff. Like, he was during World War II, like, most of it. He died at some point before it ended. And then Truman came after him, I'm pretty sure. I think it's who it was, Truman.
How does that even happen? Is that just by,
because the American people,
overwhelmingly popular.
This guy's getting us through it. Like, he was doing it all. But that's kind of interesting because
you're right.
Going back
to... Did you
say
Roosevelt?
Yes, Roosevelt. Yeah.
March 4th, 1933.
Mm-hmm. 4 terms, I think. He did. He ended at 45.
45.
He died, I think, at 45, yeah.
Who served the most terms? Franklin Delano Roosevelt was elected president 4 times.
He was a beast. They loved him, man. They loved him.
1932 until his death in 1945. He's the only president ever to have served more than 2 terms.
Yes, they loved him. They did. He got us through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
He got us through most of the war, almost up to the finish line. But I was going to touch on the fact about the industrial complex.
Yeah.
Because all that was going on and people were developing these massive weapons and the military was driving all this money. Maybe he began to see this like, oh my God, these guys are hungry. Like they love this. They're excited. They're getting highs off this. Oh my
war
God,
we're
getting money. We're getting war bonds. We're building up our weaponry. You know, we're shaking hands with all the business guys and cutting cakes. Buy your war bonds. Oh, support the military. They loved it, Al. And maybe he was in there with some of these conversations. These military guys were just hardcore, like, let's fucking just nuke everybody. Let's fucking build this and that. And he's like, holy fuck. Like, these guys are crazy.
Yeah.
They want to be, like, on top. I don't know. You don't know what kind of conclusions people began to came to, and they were behind the doors talking about conversations that nobody's ever heard about, right?
It's really bizarre, and I mean, especially for a guy that served 4 terms in office, he clearly probably saw it. He clearly was able to be there long enough to be like, oh, man, this isn't good.
Come on, Theo. Throw another million in there for us. But guys, we've already...
We won the war.
The Japanese surrendered. Yeah, but you know, we might as well go on and wipe them off the face of the earth. That'll give everybody a good message, won't it? No?
That's right.
I'm sorry. That's right. He died before the first atomic bomb was dropped.
Thank God.
Yeah, he was next.
That man didn't need to have that on his conscience before his death.
Yeah.
Well, man, it's good to be back. It's good to be talking again.
I agree.
All right, and we'll catch up with you guys next week.